Appreciate that. Probably the message maybe today should have been how to handle disasters when we have disasters, loss of possessions and things like that. Maybe that's what the message should be about today. But that's not really what I felt like I wanted to share today. Not discounting that, but hopefully the message today will help us, especially in the future, if there are disasters and things that we experience, loss, whether it's possessions or family members or whatever hardship we might go through, that maybe this will help lay a better groundwork to where we can be able to handle those things and grow thereby. So today I chose to talk about willful ignorance. Willful ignorance. Do we know what that is? Willful ignorance. Or we could say willful blindness. I looked at definition up, and the definition was a decision in bad faith to avoid becoming informed about something so as to avoid having to make an undesirable decisions which such information might prompt. In other words, we avoid knowing something. I don't want to know anything about that, because that would force me, if I knew about something, that would force me to make a decision that I don't want to make. So therefore, I just don't want to know about it. Willful ignorance or willful blindness. Purposely trying not to make a decision. Illiteracy is common among the most literate generation since creation. It's not that we can't read the Bible, it's that we don't read the Bible. And that's what I'm talking about today. Bible study. How often do we study our Bible? How important is it to us? Here last Sunday, I think it was, we were talking a little bit about in our conversation in the Sunday school class, it came up a little bit about having and just thinking about, you know, we might build a bonfire and we'll put fuel on it and we'll get it to burning really good. And then if we just walk away, after a period of time, it'll just burn up and it'll be gone. There will be nothing. There won't be any heat. There won't be any light. But if we want that to continue, we have to continue to feed the fire. We have to continue to keep fuel there for it to burn, to give light, to give heat, and to keep it going. And I would like to compare that to our spiritual life. If we want it to be alive and burning, we have to be feeding it. We have to be feeding it. Otherwise, it will die and flicker out, and there will be darkness. There will be no heat. We will be miserable just because we didn't feed that spiritual fire. Let's look at some statistics. Almost 2 out of 3 adults know that the book of Isaiah is in the Old Testament. But 1 out of 10 believe it's in the New Testament. And 1 out of 4 don't know. Now, I'm pretty sure I'm talking to people. These statistics are not talking about us, okay? For the most part, hopefully. But then again, I don't know. I don't know how well you study your Bible. But it's just statistics here. One study found that 12% of adults believe that Noah's wife was Joan of Arc. Interesting. Incidentally, I don't think the Bible actually records what Noah's wife's name was. up the, at the creation, or the Ark encounter, they actually figured out, possibly through history, I'm not sure, but they, I think they felt like her name was Emzara. I think that's right. Emzara's restaurant that they have there. But anyway, one out of six believe that the Book of Thomas is in the New Testament. Another 3% are not sure whether or not there is such a book. Half of all adults believe that the Bible teaches that money is the root of all evil. One-third disagree with this contention. But if we read in 1 Timothy there, chapter 6, verse 10, we see that it actually teaches that the love of money is the root of all evil. Majority of adults are convinced the Bible proclaims that the single most important task in life is taking care of our families. Is that true? It's very important to take care of our families. But is that the most important task in this life? In Matthew 22, we read there where a lawyer asks Jesus the question, which is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus answered and said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That is the single most important thing that we need to be doing in this life. Putting all of our trust, having our mind stayed on Jesus Christ, and then we can have that perfect peace. We get our priorities mixed up here. 3/4 of Americans believe that the Bible teaches that God helps those that help themselves. That's a little mixed up there. So what is the reason for such embarrassing ignorance? Is the Bible that hard to understand? Is it that difficult? Was it impossible for God to give a book that the minds that he created could understand? We can, it is possible to understand the Bible. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, and I'll be sort of jumping here and there around a little bit with different verses as we go along. But in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32, Jesus said that to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If ye continue in my word, we continue to feed that fire. And also we have the mind of Christ, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, we read, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also we speak, not in the words which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so if we have the mind of Christ, we will be able to understand the Bible, his word that he has given us. Because the Holy Spirit within us will help us to understand that. But it also says here that if we don't have the mind of Christ, we will not be able to discern or to understand these things, the things of God. In fact, they are foolishness unto us. maybe the Bible is not what we would call foolishness. We wouldn't go that far as our setting today, us here. We would not say the Bible is foolishness. But do we take it seriously? Do we take the whole Bible in its entirety? Do we really take it serious? Is it precious to us? Or is it just something that we have and yeah, we read in it because we need to? Otherwise, we can get along throughout the whole week, each day, whatever, without opening the Bible. We can do that. We can do that. That's making the Word of God foolishness. If we truly take something seriously, we will pay attention to it. We will study the Bible. God wants us to desire His Word. In Matthew 5, there in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." How much do we desire righteousness? How much do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? Sometimes we hunger and thirst for some physical food, really get hungry for something that we haven't had in a while. We just have that desire. We'd really just like to have that again. That should just be a little finite, little fraction, little minute comparison to what we should desire for the Word of God at all times, if we want to keep that fire of flame and burning within us. God wants us to dig into His Word. John chapter 5, verse 38 says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Search the Scriptures. When was the last time that you searched the Scriptures? Something came up in some discussion or some thought came into your mind, and you had a desire to go to God's Word and search the Scriptures to really find out what the Scriptures say about this or that. And also, God wants us to discern and to learn. In John chapter 6, Jesus says in verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent him draw me, and I will raise him up in the last day. For it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." If we know God, then we will want to have something to do with Him. We want to learn more about Him. By doing these things, freedom is gained. Again, there in John, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If we know the truth, but we have to study and drink in the truth to know the truth. And also by doing this, faith is obtained. In Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 17, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How often do we hear or read the word of God? That's how we attain faith. That's how our faith grows, by studying the word of God, by listening to preaching, by whatever means, listening to the word of God. And also, by doing this, by doing these things, man is perfected. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 18. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." In other words, everything will be there if we just drink it in. And all the Scripture is right there for us. And all of us have Bibles. There's nothing restricted. There's no excuse for us to not have what we need to handle all circumstances in life. And by so doing, we will lose our attraction to the world. There's so many things that the world grabs our attention and draws us away from studying the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And in James 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. How much more plain can that be? 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, he just comes out and says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Wow, that's just plain. That's not me saying that. That's the Bible saying that. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There's something wrong. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There we have a lot of instruction for us. The things of this world, they should totally lose their attraction to us. Now, we are living in this world, so we need to use the things of this world. But our mind should be stayed on Jesus Christ, and we need to have those things in the right perspective. Yes, we need to work for a living. We need to get money. We need to buy things for our existence and stuff. But let's always look at why we're buying what we're buying. Are we buying things to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ? Or are we buying things for our own personal satisfaction? The honor that we might receive, the accolades that we might get from other people knowing that we have these things. Let's examine ourselves. So why do these people fail to understand the Bible? I believe one answer would be that too many people just simply don't study it. They just don't. Although most Americans own a Bible, the use of the Bible varies significantly. There's a big difference. There's probably a big difference right here amongst us about how many people really study the Bible in varying degrees down to, I don't know what your story is as far as reading the Bible. Here's some more statistics. Among adults, 57% do not read the Bible at all during a typical week. 57%. That's over half. Only 12% say that they read the Bible every day, and among those, the average time was only 7 minutes a day was spent reading the Bible. I don't know what your schedule is or how you time, if you even time it. I don't know that we should time it. We should just spend as much time in the Word as we need to. In a poll taken by the Gallup organization in October of 2000, 59% of Americans reported that they read the Bible at least occasionally. Now that's totally open to interpretation. I have no idea what that really means. But that statistic is down from 73% in the 1980s. In about 20 years, it dropped a good 14%. And it's getting worse. Also, the percentage of Americans who read the Bible at least once a week is 37%, which is down from 40% in the 1990s. And the Bible reading during a typical week drops as age drops. In other words, the older people tend to read more of the Bible than the younger generation coming along. Now, that is up to you as a younger generation coming along to change that, to study your Bible just as much and even more than your parents and grandparents did. Make a point of doing that. and your life will be blessed. There's no question. Your life will be blessed. Bible reading during a typical, among the Bible readers, the people that say they do read the Bible, the average time spent reading the Bible during an entire week is 52 minutes. Not even an hour spent reading the Bible in a whole week. Is it any wonder that 31% said the Bible is too difficult to understand? It's just too difficult. We've heard, in fact, just not long ago, we heard the expression that, well, the King James Version, especially with all the these and thous and stuff in there, that is just, to me, that's just plain an excuse. And an excuse is a skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. That's what an excuse is. The these and thous, I mean, there's other translations that might be easier to read. But that doesn't make any difference. If we really and truly have a desire to read the Word of God, we will read the Word of God. I'm not saying we have to use the King James Version. That's not what I'm saying. We will read the Word of God. Because it is impossible to have a saving and strengthening, impossible to have a saving and strengthening Scripture knowledge without regularly studying the book. That is impossible. So our salvation will directly hinge on how important the Word of God is to us. If we don't study the Bible enough, then we are lost. We will be lost. Because the Word of God is the saving of our souls. And that is very, very important. We don't expect to learn math, English, science, history, or even literature without cracking a book open. We'll gladly go do some of those things, but we neglect to open the book of eternal values, eternal, the book that answers all problems in life. We neglect to open that, but we will open up any other book to learn more about, to expand our knowledge. And I think we're on the wrong track on that. The Bereans are our example. They're in Acts 17, verse 11. We read, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so." The things that they were hearing preached from Paul and the apostles, they heard these things and they wondered, is this really what it says? Is this really true? And they opened their Bibles and they studied the scriptures. They didn't have Bibles at that time, but they opened the scriptures and they studied that. And they were confirmed that this is true. And the result of that is they strengthened their faith. They become even more firm in their faith. And they were even more able to handle disasters like we had when everything is taken away. Think of Job in the Bible. He lost everything he had. Children, the only thing he had left was his wife, and she was not a good wife. Obviously, she was not much of an encouragement. But he had his mind stayed on Jesus Christ, on the Lord God. And that's what gave him the peace and the strength to continue. Even though there was turmoil there for a while, he even argued with God a little bit. But in the end, he still said that God, he will still put his trust in God, even though he slay me. He knew that God knew what was going on. Study the scriptures daily. And also Paul tells Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We'll come on to that a little later, I think. Jesus would say to this generation what he said to his generation in Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. He says, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Because they didn't study the scriptures, they were in error. They were wrong. They didn't even know the power of God. And he would still admonish to us, again, study, search the scriptures. They are they which testify of me, the scriptures. Even many religious people do not study the Bible very diligently. Even religious people. In a study done in 2001, 73% of the Catholics, 45% of Protestants, and 40% of those who claim to be born again do not read the Bible, have not read the Bible in the past week. Wow. Some of them have religious leaders who tell them they cannot understand it without explanation from the priest or the pastor. Others simply accept traditions handed down from their parents and ancestors. I believe it is safe to say that most religious people would not pick up a Bible, could not pick up a Bible, and point to certain verses for what they believe and practice as their religion. That's a challenge. Can we do that? Do we know our scriptures? Do we know what we really believe? 1 Peter in chapter 3, verse 15 instructs us, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." We need to know our scriptures. The Apostle Paul said that we should do all in the name of Jesus, which means by the authority of Jesus Christ. And we don't have that authority if we don't know the scriptures. We don't know what Jesus said. We don't know what the power of God is if we don't study the scriptures. Jesus gives authority through his written word. Some Christians have spent more time with maybe Swindoll or maybe even Lacato than they do with Peter or Paul. They would rather read some commentary deal because that's more interesting. They can explain it a little better, though, so I can understand it. Study the scriptures with an open mind, and you will receive. The Holy Spirit will interpret things for you. The Bible needs to be put back as a centerpiece of our religious curriculum. Another reason that the people fail to understand the Bible is because they do not want to understand it. Willful ignorance. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 19, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." The Bible condemns sin. Therefore, it makes sinners uncomfortable. It should. It should stir us if we are in sin, if we know of known sin, if we know of sin that we committed, we should be miserable because that's the Holy Spirit. The Bible speaks of those who are willfully ignorant in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly are ignorant of, and that the word of God, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." They just didn't want to know anything about it, because that would make them, force them to make a decision about something that, some uncomfortable decision. They'd either have to make a stand for right, or everybody know that they choose wrong. And they fail to realize that ignorance does not excuse. In Romans 1, verses 19 and 20, Paul is talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ here. He says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, the scriptures, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that were made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." There is no excuse for not understanding the Word of God. If we truly have a desire to understand the Word of God, and we come across the Scripture that we don't understand, then we have brothers and sisters right here amongst us that can help us to understand those things. I don't think any of us profess to understand everything in the Bible. But between all of us, we can help build each other up to where all of us can understand what we need to understand. In Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Those that do not know the Lord, that do not know the Scriptures, will be destroyed. Now, I believe it is possible to know the Scriptures and still not have our heart right with God also. We can have all the biblical knowledge. We can know all the Scriptures. But if we don't take it to heart and we don't have the Holy Spirit within us to help us to truly interpret, then we are still lost, even though we might know the whole Bible by heart. So there is more to it than just reading the Bible. We need to be open, read it with an openness so that we can receive. There are five key verbs, and as going to school, I couldn't get the handle on verbs and adverbs. They seemed to evade me exactly what is, but five key verbs for a Christian's relationship to the Bible: read, study, meditate, apply, and teach. Those are things that need to be done. So the question can be asked, why don't people complete these activities? Why don't they do this? Why don't they read, study, meditate, apply, and teach? And possibly it's because their minds are cluttered with too many other things. There's too many other things going on. Jesus, in the parable of the sower there in Matthew 13, spoke of the thorny soil, hearts where the seed of the word was choked. And one of those thorn bushes was the care of this world. The care of this world just choked out the word, and therefore it didn't bring forth any fruit. Perhaps this one is true of more Christians than any of the others. The care of this world. We are in this world. There's cares of this world. There's things that we need to see after. We need to work for a living. We need, as was mentioned before, we need to make a living so that we can exist, so we're not a burden on anyone. As long as we've got healthy bodies and minds, we need to be doing that. But let's not get hooked up in that, and let's not get our minds cluttered with the cares of this world. It's not that we don't study at all or that we don't really want to know God's will. It's just that we are too busy to work the Bible into our daily routines. Family, food, finances, and fun take up too much space to give the Word of God room to grow. But the Word of God is more important than any of those other things. We've got our priorities totally mixed up. There's times when the excuse was made, just like family devotions or even personal devotions. We just happened to get up late and we just couldn't work it in because I had to be over here at this point in time and I had to do this and I had to do that. I think the problem is that we should have, even if we had to get up early, we just have to get up earlier. Because we have to study the Bible. We might need to get to work on time. That's okay. We need to do that. We need to be punctual. And even the more we study the Word of God, I think maybe that will even take care of itself. We will be more punctual if we study the Word of God. Now there I'm stepping on my own toes on that one. But I think that's the way it is. Things will be more, the cares of this world will will dim in, we will take time, we will make time to study the Word of God. We will get up in the early hours. As we are busy here and there, opportunities of spiritual growth escape. In fact, we talked about Lot. We talked about Job. Lot got busy making the most of his business opportunities down in the well-watered plains of Jordan, but he lost his family. He was so busy doing his business, making sure he was successful, and he lost his family. Martha got busy in the kitchen and missed the chance of a lifetime of sitting down in the living room and listening to Jesus teach a Bible lesson. What really is more important? And by contrast, Job said that he esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. How willing are we to study the Word of God? We always have time to eat, it seemed like, sometime or other. Sometimes it's a little later or whatever. But we make sure that we eat sometime. Let's make sure that we refresh our spiritual soul, our spiritual body. Let's make sure we feed it also on a regular time. Even those who take time to read the Bible may fail to meditate upon its precepts. Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And what does he do? In his law doth he meditate day and night. A lot of times we can read a scripture reading, and then for the next however long, we can still meditate upon that as we go about our duties and doing our whatever we need to do. We can still be meditating upon that and trying to get more out of that. And if we allow the Spirit to do that, he will. Some more statistics here. Only 1 in 7 Americans report any involvement that goes beyond just reading the Bible. 1 in 7. 14% of Americans currently belong to a Bible study group. And this is down a full one-third from 1990, when 21% that they were involved in a Bible study group. A hurry-up bedtime chapter or a newspaper headline glance will not do much good when we're talking about the Bible, reading the Bible, and getting our spiritual food. Jeremiah ate up the word. He said in chapter 15, verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. It was that good to him that he would just, felt like he would just eat the words of God. A Bible study must become important enough to us that we make time for it. The average person spends 7.5 hours sleeping. Now, I know some of us get by with a lot less than that. But the average person spends 7.5 hours sleeping, 7.1 hours working, 5.3 in leisure, 1.45 hours doing housework, and 1.15 hours eating, and 0.3 hours grooming per day. That doesn't quite take up the whole 24 hours, but it's close. But it doesn't say anything in there about, you know, when do you read your Bible or anything like that. I think that's up to us. But that's what a person does in a day's time, average. No knowledge is as important as Bible knowledge. We may spend thousands to send our children to school so they get enough of secular knowledge and that they can move forward in this world, that they can do business, they can have a business, so they can move forward in this world. Are we seeking first the kingdom when we stay home from church functions or gospel meeting because we just don't feel right? Or we have something else that needs to be done, or we need to get to bed early to be fresh for the next day? What is really important to us? And are we good parents if we make sure our children attend school every day, have perfect attendance, and get their homework each night, but we let them skip Bible class or Bible study sometimes and are lax to make sure that they have their memory verses ready for Sunday morning? Now, I know a lot of you actually spend some time with your children and have to make sure they have their Bible verses, and God bless you for doing that. That is very important. The children might not see the importance at this time, but that's why you are the parents. You're teaching them the important things in life. And studying and memorizing Bible verses is very important. And God bless you, each one of you that have children at this point in time. Another reason I believe also that people fail to understand the Bible is because they have not learned to rightly divide the word of truth. A great number of people do not know that the Bible is divided, if you will. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There are two covenants, the old and the new, the law of Moses and the law of Christ. So if we go to Hebrews chapter 8, verses 7 through 13. He says there, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old, not that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready. Now that which is decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. In our Bibles there is the New Testament and the Old Testament. I think that's what he was talking about. We are now under the new dispensation, and the things now are spiritual, and there's not things that we need to do. We live under the new law. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, we read, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And I believe if we miss this, we will never be able to understand the Bible properly. God took that totally. It took the old handwriting, the old things that were against us, the old covenant, the old laws of Moses that were written. He took that out of the way and nailed it to the cross, because through the cross, the shedding blood of Calvary's cross is what gives us freedom and washes away our sins. We don't have to go through all these rituals and things anymore of goats and things like that, of lambs and whatever. And also, furthermore, we must always take into consideration who is speaking in order to understand a verse in the Bible. Because there's different people speaking in the Bible, and if you don't really know the context of what is being said, we don't always understand it correctly. For example, fools. In Psalms chapter 14, verse 1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." And also in false teachers. In John chapter 9, we read about the man that was born blind and Jesus healed him. Then when the Pharisees were asking him how this happened, this man told them, "If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." In other words, he wouldn't have been able to heal him. They answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. They were above those things. They were still stuck in the old law. They weren't dividing the word of truth like it should have been. We need to realize who is speaking, or we can get the wrong meaning. We need to get the context. And if we really read and study the Bible, we will get the context of what really is being said. One more reason that the people fail to understand the Bible is because they are prejudiced against it. If we wear sunglasses over our eyes, the world looks dark. When we put shades over our mind's eye, the gospel's light is dimmed. Many come to the Bible with their minds already made up of what it has to say. Are we like that? Are we too often like that instead of really opening our minds? They make it fit their beliefs rather than fitting their beliefs to it. This makes proper interpretation impossible. Jesus reprimanded the Jews for this very thing. If we look in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 15, says that, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why dost thou speak to them in parables?" They were asking, because Jesus was using a lot of parables in teaching. "And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Purposely turning away and not believing, not seeing, just purposely closing their eyes and ears so that they don't hear, so they don't understand, so they don't have to make a decision. How much does that reach to us, each one of us? We can understand the Bible. Let's remove the obstacles from our path and run the race that is set before us. For in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, we read, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." How have we lived our life? Have we studied the roadmap? Have we studied our study book? So that we can be walking that way, that when we die, we won't have to face judgment. We will pass straight through because of our connection with God, because how we lived our lives. It's a challenge to each one of us. May God bless each one of you as you read and study, meditate, apply, and teach the inspired Word of God. Let us kneel for prayer.